Good morning, everyone. Please find Luke chapter 4. I'm reading in Luke chapter 4, and this is verse 14. Luke 4:14, Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit to Galilee, and a report about Him went throughout all the surrounding country. He taught in their synagogues, being glorified by all. What's it like to spend a day with Jesus Christ? Sometimes maybe a city will have some charity, will auction off a mayor for the day program. You get to sit in the mayor's chair and sign official proclamation, will be the mayor for the day. Sometimes celebrities will give a day, maybe to the Make-A-Wish Foundation, some child come and spend the day with an athlete and go to practice and go to meetings, or with some music star, go to the studio and do some recording and so forth. Spend a day with a celebrity. You know, all that would be really neat. Wouldn't be as cool as spending a day with Jesus Christ. Be with the Lord. Especially if it'd be a day not where He takes off from everything else and just sits down, has coffee with you and answers all your questions and all your concerns. No, just talking about spending a day with Jesus when He's in His normal routine. Just doing what Jesus does. You get to follow Him and be part of His group and watch and listen to Him teach and see the things that He do. Spend a day with Jesus. How incredible would that be? This morning I want to welcome you to this year's preaching theme. As you know, unless you've been living under a rock, we are going to read from Luke and Acts this year as a congregation. That's a great breakdown. 52 chapters in Luke and Acts. That's a chapter a week. Easy to do. Pick up a bookmark off the information table to help you keep track of which chapter we're in. That's a great breakdown. And as part of that, I want to preach from Luke and Acts at least once a month as we continue to think about that theme. Now, last Sunday night, Rusty and I talked about Bible reading from Luke, but this morning, I thought the way to kick off the preaching thing is to just be right in the text and to be preaching from Luke 4, the chapter that we'll be reading from this week. Now, you know, and I know, that Luke is not strictly a biography of Jesus. This is Luke, by the pen of inspiration, choosing carefully the episodes and events in Jesus' life that will cause Theophilus to understand who Jesus is. And as we read that, we come to understand who Jesus is because Luke does. Let us spend the day with Jesus. In fact, here in Luke 4, it's 2 days that we get to spend with Jesus Christ. So come along with me and let's talk about a day in the life of Jesus. Reading there in verse 16, He came to Nazareth where He had been brought up, and as was His custom, He went to the synagogue on the Sabbath day, and He stood up to read, and the scroll of the prophet Isaiah was given to Him. And He unrolled the scroll and found the place where it was written, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because He's anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He sent me to proclaim liberty to the captives, recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, and to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." And He rolled up the scroll and He gave it back to the attendant, and He sat down, and the eyes of all in the synagogue were fixed on Him. You spend a day with Jesus, and what you're going to see is that Jesus does a lot of teaching. This is, in fact, Jesus' first public teaching. He comes in the power of the Spirit, verse 14. And that is continued in verse 18. "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me." And He comes to Isaiah. It may well have been the selected reading for the day in the synagogue. There was a reading plan. But it may have been that Jesus wanted to read from Isaiah. And that would have meant pulling out the scroll of Isaiah and a lot of rolling to get to this chapter deep into Isaiah so that He could talk about exactly what Isaiah says, proclaiming good news and liberty, release to captives. Those words, that terminology there you should know, is the terminology used for the forgiveness of sins. And He began to say to them, verse 21, "Today, this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing." And all spoke well of Him and marveled at the gracious words that were coming from His mouth. See how people are being made to think? They're encountering Jesus as He teaches from the Word of God. And that provokes people to think. And they began to say, "Is not this Joseph's son?" Yet, of course, we know the answer to that question. And the answer to that question is, no, it's not. In fact, Luke has labored now for 3.5 chapters to show us angels singing when he is born, and shepherds who come and visit, and people in the temple who come up to Joseph and Mary and speak words of prophecy over this child. And then we've gone on from there to see Jesus being baptized. And now even by this time in Luke 4, Jesus' temptations, and all of that, even that genealogy in Luke 3, has combined to say, no, he's not the son of Joseph. He's the Son of God. He is the Messiah. He is the Savior of the world. And Jesus wants people to think about that, verse 24. He said to them, doubtless you'll quote to me this proverb, physician, heal yourself. What we've heard you do at Capernaum, you do here in your hometown as well. How about something flashy, Jesus? Making these big claims, we want to see a miracle. We heard about those. Come on, Jesus, put on a show. He said to them, verse 24, truly I say to you, no prophet is acceptable in his hometown. But in truth, I tell you, there were many widows in Israel in the days of Elijah, when the heavens were shut up 3 years and 6 months, and a great famine came over the land. And Elijah was sent to none of them, only to Zarephath in the land of Sidon, to a woman who was a widow. There are many lepers in Israel at the time of prophet Elisha. None of them was cleansed, only Naaman the Syrian. So how about this doing a miracle? Jesus says, you need to be thinking about that. Because lots of times God's done something big, and the people who missed it were the people of God. In the time of Elijah, verse 25, the people of God were wicked, and that's why there was a famine for 3 years and 6 months. And in fact, Elijah was sent to help somebody, wasn't sent to help a good Jew. Wasn't sent to help a good Israelite. No, had to leave the land to find somebody he could help. And then verse 27, there were lots of lepers, but there weren't anybody like the faith of Naaman. Come do what the prophet told him to do. This is a stinging word. And it makes them think, verse 28, when they heard these things, all in the synagogue were filled with wrath. And they rose up and they drove him out of the town. And they brought him to the brow of the hill on which their town was built, so they could throw him down from the cliff. But passing through their midst, he went away. Jesus taught. And he made people think. Jesus did not bring the Joel Osteen gospel of how can you feel better today. Let me give you a word or two about how wonderful it is that you're a Jew. And that's so much better than being a bad old Gentile. And your ticket's punched to heaven and just feel better and have more self-esteem. Jesus taught from the Word of God and He said, you need to think. You need to think about me and you need to think about the Messiah. Because God is doing something dramatic here, and there's been many times when the very people of God have watched that unfold and they just flat missed it. That was provocative. And they struggled with that. That kind of teaching made some folks do some soul searching. Is he really who he claims to be? Do I really need to follow him? What's going on here? I wonder if I'd been spending the day with Jesus, if I would have got that. If I would have said, yes. This is it. Come on, people. He's the Messiah. Let's do what he says. Or I've been one of those people saying, oh, I don't know about this. I think he's just a carpenter's son. I think he's getting too big for his britches. Jesus made people think, though, didn't he? Lots of thinking going on here. And in fact, the very next thing that happens is Jesus is doing more of that teaching. Verse 31. He went down to Capernaum, a city of Galilee. He was teaching them on the Sabbath, the second day now for us. And they were astonished at his teaching. For his word possessed authority. This section brings with an emphasis on authority. In fact, Luke puts more emphasis here on teaching with authority than even miracles. What I expect the Bible to say is they were astonished at his miracles. And Jesus, in fact, is going to do some really awesome miracles here. But Luke says what really got people's attention was Jesus' teaching. For his word possessed authority. In fact, Jesus is doing those miracles. Why? To back up his authority as a teacher, one sent from God. He comes and says he has a message from God. He's the Messiah, and he shows that he's the Messiah and should be listened to by what he can do. In the synagogue, verse 33, there was a man who had the spirit of an unclean demon, and he cried out with a loud voice, ha! What have you to do with us, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God. But Jesus rebuked him. Look at how even that rebuke goes back to the idea of teaching and the word and authority. Jesus rebuked him, saying, "Be silent and come out of him." And when the demon had thrown him down in their midst, he came out of him, having done him no harm. And they were all amazed and said to one another, "What is this word? For with authority and power he commands the unclean spirits, and they come out." And reports about him went out into every place in the surrounding region. What was that report? This man teaches with authority. This isn't like the rabbis that we hear, and they cite this rabbi, and they cite that rabbi, and this precedent, and this commentary, and what men have said about this. Jesus never talks like that. He never does anything like that. His word possesses authority. And that continues into this next miracle, verse 38. He arose and he left the synagogue. He entered Simon's house. Now, Simon's mother-in-law was ill with a high fever, and they appealed to him on her behalf. It's of interest that Luke, the doctor here, notes some things about her medical condition. It is Luke that tells us she had a high fever. He stood over her, and he rebuked the fever. And it left her, and immediately she rose and began to serve him. There are times that Jesus does miracles with touch. There are times that Jesus does miracles by speaking a word. All kinds of different. But here, there's all this emphasis on authority. And here Jesus rebukes the fever like he rebuked the demons. Jesus is speaking with authority the same way that he taught. Luke is talking to us, pushing us to see the authority of the Son of God. He stood over, rebuked the fever, verse 39. Left her and immediately she rose and began to serve them. Now verse 40. When the sun was setting, all those who had any who were sick with various diseases brought them to him. And he laid his hands on every one of them and healed them. So the sun sets, verse 40. In Jewish time, the Sabbath ends. And people could then move about freely and travel. So people came to see this one who had authority. And demons, verse 41, also came out of many crying, "You are the Son of God." But he rebuked them and would not allow them to speak because they knew that he was the Christ. People always wonder about that. Why didn't Jesus want demons to say who he was? And I think the answer to that is the messenger didn't fit the message. There's just certain people you just don't want testifying about you. If someone in town is known as a mobster and low life and always getting in trouble with the law, you don't necessarily want him coming up when you're with all your friends putting his arm around you and saying, "You're the best guy I know. Wow, I don't know you." And so Jesus said to these demons, "You have to be quiet. Your testimony's right, but you're not the right messengers for my message." So think about spending this day with Jesus. Now, a second day, verses 31 to 41. The sun is setting, and people are coming to Jesus. And Jesus is healing people and casting out demons. And I'm thinking about what I've seen, particularly those demons. I've seen demons being cast out left and right. We don't know why there were so many demons during the time of Christ. That seems to be a very unusual phenomenon. Right here, this particular point in time during the New Testament, this goes on. Some during the book of Acts later, but mostly during the time of Christ. We're not sure why that troubled people during this time. But we know this. Jesus wasn't troubled by demons. It didn't bother him at all. Jesus dominates over demons. In the New Testament world, there wasn't anything worse than demons. They took people over. They ran them into the ground. They did terrible things to them. They made people feel absolutely helpless. And yet for Jesus, dealing with demons was nothing. He doesn't need a big show. He doesn't have to do a big ritual and paint on the floor and chant for hours. Jesus just says, "That's enough." And that's enough. He spoke, and that was it. He totally controlled them. He totally ruled over them with authority. Just like the diseases and the illnesses and the high fever that he faced, it didn't matter. It didn't matter what anybody had. Jesus handled it. He took care of it. Why? Because he had authority. Because he was the Son of God. And all that he did, all of those miracles, worked together to say, Jesus is the Savior of the world. Jesus is the Messiah. Look at what he can do. I need to listen to him. And that brings us to this last little section. in verse 42. When it was day, he departed and went to a desolate place. And the people sought him and came to him and would have kept him from leaving them. But he said to them, I must preach the good news of the kingdom of God to other towns as well. For I was sent for this purpose. He was preaching in the synagogues of Judea. So it is morning now. What do we see? Jesus is wanting to teach more people. Someone says, I thought we were just going to get to spend a day or two. It's morning now. This is the third day. And it is time for us to go. Because Jesus is going to go. But as the morning sun comes up and we're beginning to see the plans and things begin to take shape, here come people from town and they want Jesus to stay longer. And I'm looking and I'm wondering, is he going to stay? Going to stay here a little bit longer? No, he's not. Verse 43, I must preach the good news of the kingdom of God. See that word must? That matters. It's not, well, you know, I could stay. I could go. I don't really know what. Maybe. I'll stay till. No, there's none of that. I must. And please notice, it's not I must go and do more miracles. I must go preach the good news of the kingdom of God to other towns. I've got to go help other people understand the message of God so they'll understand who I am. Jesus is defining His mission here. And I want to pay attention to that. Jesus is saying, I need to go preach and teach. So Luke helps us. And he lets us spend a couple days with Jesus. And we get to watch. We get to see all that stuff that happened. And what are you thinking about now? What's it like to be with Jesus? How'd that affect you? What'd you get out of all of that as we watch Jesus? Morning sun is now up and Jesus is setting off for a new village and new places to preach and teach. We're beginning to think about everything that we saw and heard. Might be tempting to think about some of those miracles. I mean, that's just amazing and impressive to see people immediately healed. Somebody may say, man, I don't think about that demon possession. I mean, wow, the way Jesus could just control them like that. He's so impressive. But it's pretty clear as we're reading in Luke that that's not what Luke really wants us to be focused on. That's not where Luke is. That's not what he's excited about. In fact, that's not what people were excited about. The key in all of that was that Jesus was the preacher of the good news of the gospel. You spend a couple of days with Jesus and what you're going to see is that preaching and teaching matter to Jesus Christ. He had a message and people listened to that message. And the way He acted and the way He taught and the way He preached and the miracles that He did, all of that was designed to draw attention to His message. The authoritative way that He spoke, His message. And all of that drew attention to Him as the messenger with that message, Jesus the Messiah. You stand around Jesus very long, you're going to get some preaching and teaching. Because preaching and teaching matter to Jesus. Don't you think our society today could use a dose of that? I mean, preaching today is just not on anybody's favorite list. Nobody says, well, what are we doing tonight? Well, we go to the movies. So I'll tell you what we do. I got a new sermon CD in the mail. Let's listen to this sermon. No. In fact, a lot of churches are doing away with preaching. Shortening the sermon. Hear lots of calls today. We've got to get out a monologue. We need to have a dialogue, everybody talking together. What we really need to do is we need to show some videos. We need to have drama. We need to have skits. We need to show people 3D action and do all that kind of stuff. Preaching, that's so old-fashioned. Oh, the pulpit, that's so outdated. That's not the way we communicate in this new world, in this new century. But if you spend a day with Jesus, what's going to be your opinion of preaching and teaching the Word of God? You get around Jesus and you'll find that Jesus preaches, Jesus teaches. Jesus didn't do clever one-act plays. He didn't introduce a video montage. He didn't entertain as a stand-up comedian. He opened the Bible. He said, I want to talk to you about Isaiah and what Isaiah said is going to happen. He pounded home the message of Scripture. Jesus talked to people about the Lord and about their relationship with Him and the kingdom of God in synagogues, in every place. Jesus preached the good news of the kingdom of God. What did people say about that? Look again at verse 36. Verse 36, what is this Word? Jesus brought people the Word of God. And that's that emphasis in Luke chapter 4. Because Jesus was here, Luke is saying to us, to help us get to know God and to understand about repentance, as our brother spoke from the table this morning, and to understand about the forgiveness that God makes available to us when we are repenting. Jesus came to help us know how to be a disciple and to be in the kingdom of God. And the way Jesus did that was through preaching and teaching. Do you think about that? The way Jesus said, I want to help you be in the kingdom of God, is by communicating the message of God. He did not say, what we all need here is to have a mystical, spiritual experience. And everybody sit down cross-legged, and we're going to hum, and we're going to chant until we have some kind of weird out-of-body experience. That'll really cause us to be spiritually minded. No. Jesus did not say, you know what, the way the kingdom of God is cash. Get your wallet out. Boys, pass the bucket. Let's see how much we can get out of this. Because, you know, if you want to be part of God's kingdom, you really need to make a contribution. You need to plant a seed of faith. That's what you need to do. How many shekels have you got? Sir, put that in the bucket. Nope. What about money? And it is important to see. Jesus not saying, you want to be in the kingdom of God? Who's got their family tree? Because, you know, if you're born in the right family, then you can be part of this. Are you related to Abraham? Can you trace that all the way back? Let me see your lineage, sir. Could you bring that up here? Was your mom and dad a member of the Church of Christ? Were you raised in the church? Because that's how you be in the kingdom of God. Who your parents are, that's what... No. No. That isn't what Jesus did. Jesus wasn't involved in any of those kinds of things. But what Jesus says, what Luke shows us, what we know after we've spent several days with Jesus, is that if you want to be in on this Jesus thing, you better bring both of your ears and you'd better connect your ears to your heart so that the message of God that Jesus brings sinks down into your heart and changes your life. Jesus preached the Word of God. And that's what you get around when you get around Jesus. You get the message of God from God's messenger. He's preaching that message. And what we know is, I need to listen to what Jesus has to say. And that brings us then to those two important questions. First, am I listening to Jesus? And the way I'd phrase that question this morning is just to ask, if I'm not reading the Gospel of Luke, then how am I going to hear the message Jesus came to preach and teach? If I don't read it, how am I ever going to know that message? We talk about how great it'd be to spend a day with Jesus. And if the elders got up this morning and said, we've got word that Jesus will be in town on Tuesday, and we get 6 hours, and we've got a sign-up sheet on the information table, you can sign up for a 30-minute block with Jesus. I mean, there'd be a stampede back there. I'd be in the middle of it. I'd climb over you. But the truth is, we get to spend a day with Jesus. We get to hear Him. We get to see Him through the inspired Word of God that the Lord has made enormous effort to give, to provide, to preserve, to protect. You and I, right here in Luke, we get to listen and see the greatest preacher of all time. We get to encounter Jesus the Christ. And when we do that, we need to answer that next question. How do I respond to what Jesus says? Luke's gospel helps us see people hearing Jesus and then having to make a decision about Jesus, about making a decision about His message. That didn't always go well. Some people decide poorly. In Nazareth, they missed it. In Capernaum, it seems to have gone better. But nobody, you notice this? Nobody just shrugs their shoulders, kind of indifferent. I don't know about that. I'll think about that some other time. When Jesus speaks, you have to listen. Because He speaks with authority. And then that message comes into your life, and you have to respond. Because Jesus cannot and will not be ignored. So we're reading Luke. But we're not reading Luke because we want to gather up a bunch of facts about Jesus. We're reading Luke because we want to be changed by Luke. We want to be changed by the message Jesus taught. Never enough to read the Bible. The challenge here is to live the Bible. The message mattered to Jesus. You hear that message? And are you living that message? That is why we're reading Luke and Acts.